All right, we're starting the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara is now going to address from the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned that the Karen Dromit Maravit is used for three things lamalo and three things lamato and three things down below. So Gemara is going to go Shlosha Dvarim Bechule. These are the three things that is done below. Chatata Of Hade Amran. The fact that the Chatata Of is done in that corner, we already explained. That was the second half of yesterday's daf. Hagashot. The mincha, that you have to megish the kli that the mincha is in to that corner. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, vigisha la mizbeach. Now truthfully, it should also say, hatak amran here, and it should also say, v'chule, because vigisha la mizbeach is not the source for the putting in the marvi jomid, but rather, the pasukim that we brought yesterday, which is, el pnei mizbeach lifnei Hashem. So those two, the stira between pnei mizbeach and lifnei Hashem, told us to do it in the Karen Marvit Dromit. But again, that's the Hagasha Shel HaMincha. They just bring you the Pasuk, the source that we do Hagashat HaMincha, and that's Hagasha El HaMizbeach. Sharei Adam, the leftovers of the Dam are placed there because it says, Dichtiv, it called Adam Apar Yishpoch Yisod Mizbach HaOlah. So the remainder of the Dam you place into the Mizbach HaOlah. We know that's put on the Yisod, and the Yisod of the Mizbach HaOlah, and it's in the closest location to where you're exiting from. Well, when you're exiting the Heichal and Petach Omoy, the closest location is going to be in the west. And when you're coming off the Kevesh, the closest location is going to be in the south. So the Yisod that took the Shari Adam was in that southwest corner. Those were the two pipes that took the blood for the Shari Adam, one of them on the southern side of the southwest corner, and one of them on the western side of the southwest corner, one for the Chataot HaPnimiyot, that was the western side, and the remainder of all Karbanot that came off the Mizbeach HaChitzon, when they came down the ramp on the southern side, then the Yisod on that little extension of the Yisod on the southern side had the pipe that allowed you to do the Shari, pour the Shari Adam over there. Now the Gemara says that there are also milamalo. Above, there are three things that are done by the Karen Mavidromit. Nisuch HaMayim VaYayin, Olat HaOf, Ukeshi Rabba BaMizrach. And the other Of when it comes from the other side. So now, my time, what's the reason that they're done this way? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mipnei Shekrova MiBeit HaDeshen. It's the closest place to the Beit HaDeshen. That's why it's done in that way, because Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bore Kama Gadol Kochan Shel Kohanim. Let's look at the strength of the Kohanim. She'en Lecha Kal Ba'ufot. There's nothing lighter in terms of a bird, Ba'ufot. Yoter Mimor'a V'notza, including the crop and its feathers. Pamim She'akoin Zareg Yoter Mishloshim Ama. There's sometimes that the Kohen has to throw more than 30 amot. He has to throw this object, this light object, more than 30 amot. That's not. We have a Mishnah. Natal machtashel kesef, vala the rosh hamizbeach. Person, they took a shovel, almost like a tin shovel, that they went to collect the coals or the ashes on top of the mizbeach. Upinat agichalim elech veelech. He moves the coals around. Yes. Bechata min amuchulot apnimiot. Takes out from the consumed areas in the innards, the inner coals that are most consumed. Vioreid. Then he comes back down the ramp. Higia l'ritzpa. When he reaches the end of the ramp. Maksir panav kalape tzafon. He turns his face back to the north. Now turning back to north means I'm heading back towards the mizbeach. Valech lemizracho. Along the eastern side of the ramp, I walk 10 amot. And that is geser amot. And tzavtzavar et agichalim. Agavi ritzvai piles up the coals on the floor. Rachok min akevesh shloshat fachim. 3 tefach away from the ramp. Makom shenotnim, the same place that they put morav notza, the crop and the feathers of the korban olat ha'of, v'dishun mizbeach apnimi, and when they used to clear off the ashes from the mizbeach apnimi and also from the menorah, they were all placed in the same location, and that is what's called the Beit HaDeshen. So you can see that on the charts that I hand diagrams that I handed out, on the one that has the tzafon mizrach rav darom below it, you can see that he came down off the ramp, which is on the southern side. And he turns to the north, means he's heading back towards the Mizbeach. He heads back 10 amot, 3 tvachim away from the ramp, and that's called the Beit HaDeshen. That's the Beit HaDeshen where he puts down all the items that require Beit HaDeshen. The number one, which we just read from the Mishnah, is the Trumat HaDeshen. By Trumat Hadeshen, he has to take down from Mucholot HaPnimiyot, goes into the most consumed area, brings it off, and places it over here in the Beit HaDeshen, as opposed to like on Yom HaKippurim, where it doesn't say Mucholot HaPnimiyot. It doesn't say from the most inner consumed ones, because over there they need the coals in order to burn the Ketoret on it. Or when they take the coals into the Mizbeach HaZahav for the Ketoret, they don't take from the inner coals, because they don't want something totally consumed. They want something that's still lit in order to put the Ketoret on it. Here you're trying to get rid of the ashes, so you take from the inner ones. Also, the Olat Ha'Of, which is said, he takes the crop and the feathers that they extract from the Olat Ha'Of, and he throws it to the Beit HaDeshen. And the same is true of the Dishun Mizbech HaPnimi, in the Mizbech HaZahav that's in the Echal. After they did the Ketoret on the coals there, they would clean off the Mizbech HaPnimi, and they'd also clean out the menorah each day. Each day that refuse that was brought out was placed in the Beit HaDeshen. And now there's also, the Gemara speaks about a miracle, that it was Nivla Bim Komo, that it was absorbed in its place, and whatever was put there disappeared. So Rishonim Tosos discusses here whether everything was Nivla Bim Komo, only certain of these items were Nivla Bim Komo, but that is the Beit HaDeshen. Now why is this relevant? This is relevant because where is the Olat Ha'Of normally done? The Olat Ha'Of is normally done on the southeastern corner. Normally the Kohen would go up the ramp, turn off onto the Kevesh HaKatan to the Soveiv, and then he could stand on the Soveiv and do the Olat Ha'Of in the southeastern corner. Why would he do it in the southeastern corner? Because the Olat Ha'Of is kosher anywhere above the Chut HaSikra. The Kohen has to then take the Moran Otzah and throw it to the Beit HaDeshen. Where is the location that is closest to the Beit HaDeshen? That is the southeastern Keren. That corner would be the closest location. So therefore, the Kohen goes to that corner in order to do the Olat Ha'Of. It's also the first place that he would go to. And he does the Olat Ha'Of from there and then throws it back to the Beit HaDeshen. The requirement to throw it back to the Beit HaDeshen is because the Pasuk says that he has to do Zorkah, that he has to throw it. So we know that he has to throw it when he's by the Mizbech and throw it back to the Beit HaDeshen. Now our Mishnah says, if there were too many Olot on the southeastern side, then he moves over to the southwestern side. Why does he pick the southwestern side? Rabbi Yochanan says, because that's the closest location to the Beit HaDeshen. If I have to pick another location besides the southeastern corner, which is really the closest, what is the next closest location on the Mizbeach to which the Karen on the Mizbeach to do this? That is the southwestern corner. So Rashi points out, and this has to do, we discussed this in Samach Bet as well, Rashi says there was no kevesh. There was no ramp that led from the major kevesh to the soveiv on the western side. Only on the eastern side was there a ramp that went up to the soveiv. But on the western side, there was only a ramp that went to the yisod, nothing that went to the soveiv. So what does this kohen do? He has to go up the main ramp and then turn left and end up right by the keren. So you can see that in the middle picture by Cheshbon Rashi over here. I have the dotted lines. That says that, and we're going to see this in the second half of today's daf, that chutz min ha'olim the gimel dvarim alalu, people go up for these three things, olim derech marav, v'yodim derech marav. They go up on the western side, on the left side of the ramp. They go up the left side of the ramp and turn towards the keren. This is the shita drashi, that there is no ramp that goes to the soveiv on that side. And therefore, he's on top of the mizbeach. Now, what Rabbi Yochanan says is that the kohen must have been very strong, because what is he going to do now? He has to now toss the marav and otzah from standing up by the keren all the way back to the Beit HaDeshen. How far is that? So Rashi does the calculation, and you can see I laid it out here. Rashi says, well, from that Karen, where the Kohen is standing, is 21 Amot back to the Kevesh. Because you can see, as you see here in the picture on the right, the Kevesh is 16 Amot wide. The platform on the top is 28 by 28. If the platform is 28 by 28, that means that you have 16 of them taken up by the Kevesh, leaves 12 left over. The 12 are evenly divided by the two sides, 6 Amot on each side. The Karen itself takes up one amah. So the distance between the Karen and the Kevesh, 5 amot. The Kevesh itself, 16 amot. That means from the east-west direction, he has to cover 21 amot. Then he also has to get it out to the Kevesh. If you remember, the Kevesh is 32 amot in terms of floor space. It takes up 32 amot to reach the top of the Mizbeach. 10 amot in is the Beit HaDeshen. That means there's a remaining 22 amot until the kevesh reaches the top of the mizbeach. But this kohen is standing, he's not standing at the edge, he's standing in, he's standing on that amain. Distance he needs to go from north to south is 23 amot. So that means if you look in the picture of Cheshon Rashi, he's throwing from the west-east direction, he's throwing 21 amot. Then from the north to the south, he's throwing 23 amot. So how will we calculate? They calculate the hypotenuse of that triangle. The hypotenuse of that triangle will tell us how far the throw is. Now Rashi does a couple of things which are no-nos in math. Rashi says, well, 21 by 23 is really the same as 22 by 22. Because in order to do the hypotenuse, the Gemara only gives us a calculation for hypotenuse when you have a right triangle that is an isosceles triangle, where two of the sides are equal. So Rashi, in order to do that, has to make it 22 by 22, otherwise he can't calculate the hypotenuse. They didn't have Pythagorean's theory down pat yet. Now they have 20. He says, all right, 21 by 23, just take one amma from there and put it on the other side, and you get 22 by 22. So then Rashi does the calculation based on 22 by 22, and he uses the Gemara's calculation for hypotenuse, which is, if you have an amma that is squared, then the alachson, the hypotenuse, is amta b'trei chumshe, is 1 and 2 fifths. So if you do that calculation, it's 22 times 1.4, you get 30.8. So that gives you the 30.8. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, it says you get 30 amot plus 4 tfachim. Really, it should be, the tfachim here should really be 4 tfachim, 4 fifths. So it should be 4 tfachim of 5 tfachim that make up an amma. But then Rashi says, oh, wait a minute. The Beit Hadeshen is really 3 tfachim away from the kevesh. I only calculated the amount to the end of the kevesh. I didn't calculate those extra 3 tfachim. So I take the 30.8, I add those 3 tfachim to it. I end up with 31 amah in a tefach. Again, this calculation is difficult for a number of reasons. Number one is that's not true. Actually, it's to calculating on the west-east vector, the extra 3 tefachim. It should really calculate it based on the hypotenuse to that area. But Rashi just makes it a 3 tefachim flat. Number two is Rashi takes, he has 30 amah plus 4 tefachim. And he says if you add 3 tefachim to that, you get 31 in a tefach. Truthfully, normally, 5 tefachim make up a amah. Over here, Rashi is suggesting that it's really the 6 tefachim that make up the amah. So when you add 3, you only end up with a tefach above the 31. Even though some of these calculations involve 5 tefachim and not 6 tefachim, Rashi does it. So Rashi comes up and says, okay, you get 31 amah of a tefach. That's the distance the coin's going to throw. And that's the Gemara's question now. Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan said that when the coin throws it, it's more than 30 amot. And the Gemara says, Hatzvei, Tavatin v'charavin. What do you mean more than 30? It's more than 31 amot that he has to throw it. The Gemara says, no, Mekom gavrei lo choshiv. You don't consider the place where the coin stands. The coin himself takes up a space of an amah by an amah. We were calculating it based on all the way to the keren and all the way to the back of the keren. That's not where the coin himself takes up space. So when he's throwing, he can reduce an amah. And therefore, according to Rashi, Avli tefach yoter mishloshim. He says, well, then if I just subtract an amah from the 31 amot and a tefach, I end up with 30 amah and a tefach, and that's close enough. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he says that the kohen has to be so strong as to throw the crop and the feathers from that southwestern corner all the way back to the Beit Hadashin. Now what the calculation does not consider is the elevation, which is number one, and number two, what it doesn't consider is that obviously that these calculations are off. But I did over here, I didn't do the trigonometry for the elevation, but I did do the proper calculation, which is that if you take the calculation, which is really 21 and a half away, because you're 21 amot away, plus the 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim is half an amah. If you take the 3 tefachim, which is half an amah, you have 21 and a half of the west-east direction, or vector. The north-south vector is 23 amot, like Rashi says. If you do that, you come out with a hypotenuse, which is equal to 31.48, which is what the Gemara asks, that it's really above 31. Now the Gemara says, wait, the Makoma Kohen. Makoma Kohen really takes up an amah by an amah. That's in both vectors. I mean, the Kohen is a square amah on both vectors. That would really make it that the distance is 20.5 and 22. If you do that, you come up with a calculation which is 30.07, and that would be what the Gemara says in the end. The Makom HaKohen, if you take it out, is just a little more than 30. So that's the way the calculation would work out properly. I didn't show you here, but I'll put it together afterwards. Tosafot argues over here. The machlokas between Tosafot and Rashi about whether there's an additional ramp is actually from this Gemara. Rashi says, how do I know that the Kohen is standing on the top of the Mizbeach and not on the Soveiv? Because there's no ramp on the western side to go to the Soveiv. So the only way for him to access the southwestern corner, or Karen, is he has to go up to the top of the Mizbeach and then go over to the Karen. Tosfos disagrees and says, no, I think there has to be a Soveiv there. Why does Tosfos say I have to have a Soveiv there? Because what about a Chatat? When a Chatat Behema, where he has to go around and put a Matan Dam on each corner, what's going to happen? According to Rashi, he's going to walk up the ramp, He's going to have to walk around to get to the end, and now he's stuck. And he's going to have to retrace his whole steps to come back off. And it doesn't make any sense. Tosa says there has to be a ramp that allows him to egress from the Sovev, allows him to descend off the Sovev. And therefore, Tosus believes there's an additional ramp on the western side that goes to the Sovev. Based on that, you would also have to have a different calculation now. Tosus's calculation actually would turn out to really be 22 by 22. Tosus's calculation, he's an amah closer to the Beit HaDeshen on the north-south vector because he's on the Sovev instead of up top. But he's also an amah further away. By the Sovev corner, he's an amah further from the on the east-west vector than he was before. So going to Tosus will actually turn out to be a 22 by 22 calculation, and that would give you the hypotenuse calculation for the Tosafot. And Tosus questions his own position. He says that we just had on the Gemara in Samach Bet that Rabbi Yehuda said that there were Shnei Kvashim Ktanim. There were these two small ramps that came off the big ramp. Well, according to me, there are three ramps coming off, and he leaves it Bitzar Chiyun. He says, I don't know. And I've showed you in the past that the Tosus Yom Tov, as well as the Chanukah Debayit, answer or try to explain according to the Tosafot, they create a small ramp to the Sovei that comes off the ramp to the Yisod to solve the problem. And they say, yes, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about the ramps that come off the main ramp. There are only two ramps that come off the main ramp. There is an additional ramp that goes to the Sovev. That additional ramp to the Sovev is a descent ramp. It's to come off. Where is he heading when he comes off the Sovev on that side? He's always heading to the Yisod to put the Sharia down. So that ramp comes off and then lands on the Yisod, not on the Kevesh HaGadol. And that's the picture according to the Tosfot Yom Tov. What is interesting is that we saw, if you remember back on Samach Bet, there's a machlokas about how much avir, how much airspace there is between the kevesh and the top of the mizbeach. Rashi said it's koshu, Tosafot said it's be an avira de minkar, be a noticeable gap. And then we had the Rabbeinu Chaim from Pezayin who said that there was actually a whole amah, a little more than an amah separation, because the kevesh did not sit on the Sovev. Did not sit on the Sovev, which is a big tzarachiyun, because the Gemara back on, where we saw on Samach Bet and other places, it says that the Poreach, that it was on top of the Sovev. But if you explain like the Rabbeinu Chaim that the Kevesh did not sit on the Sovev, that that space was open so that they could see down to the Karka from there, then Tosus's question goes away. Because of course the question on Rashi is, what did he do when he went around the Sovev? How does he retrace his steps? But if the Kevesh doesn't sit on the Sovev, like the Rabbeinu Chaim says, then he can return to the Kevesh he came up and go back down, and wouldn't be a problem. According to Rabbeinu Chaim, you may not need that extra ramp that Tosfos has. Right, that was just a quick look at the Gemara that we have over here and some diagrams that you have that I sent out that help to understand it. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Kola Ulim the Mizbeach. Anybody who goes up to the Mizbeach goes up on the right side. But for these three items, when they're going to the southwestern Keren, they go directly to that Keren. And that's what I showed you on the second page. There's the line that shows the Kohen going up on the western side of the ramp instead of the normally going up on the eastern side of the ramp. Question is why? So for these three items. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nichasim, Shema Yityashnu. The problem with them is that we are worried about them getting smoked out. If they get smoked, then they would be ruined. They're not kosher for the libations anymore. So therefore, we go as fast as possible to the Karen where the libations are done. They are done on the southwestern corner. Why are they done on the southwestern Karen? It's because, as we said before, the Mizbeach was extended on the southwestern side to cover over the Shittin. The Shittin are the destination for the Nisuch Hayayin and Nisuch Hamayim. So therefore, it's done on that Karen. There are pipes or cups, Sfalim, that are on that Karen where they used to pour the libations that go down to the Shittin. So if they wanted to get there the fastest way possible, you'd go up the western side of the ramp, turn left, and go directly there in order that they would not get ruined by having to circumscribe the entire square of the Mizbeach to get there like one would normally do when they go around the Mizbeach. Volatov, why would you do the Olatov? Why do you go directly up there to get to that side? Shema Tamut Basha, the same problem. We're afraid that the bird might die from the excess smoke of being carried all the way around the Mizbeach. So therefore we went as directly as possible to that location on the Mizbeach, that Karen Marvit Ramit, where the Olat Ha'of is going to be done. So those are the three items that are done above on the Karen Marvit Ramit. And that's why we go directly there. We don't go the normal route, which is to stay on the right side of the ramp and then to turn right and then circumscribe the Mizbeach. Viriminhu. If he has to go around the Mizbeach, where does he start from? Mikaren Dromit Mizrachit. He starts from the southeastern side. Then he goes to Mizrachit Tzvonit, and then he goes to the northeastern side, Tzvonit Marvit, then to the northwestern corner, and then lastly, Marvit Dromit. Venotnin lo Yayin Nesech, and then they hand him the Yayin Nesech. This is speaking about a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol has the right to opt to do any avoda in the Mikdash whenever he wants. Even though there were lotteries, there were the pais that determined which Kohen was Zochen, which avoda, the Kohen Gadol has a right to step in and say, I want to do this avoda. So here the Mishnah is describing that if he wants to do the avoda of the Evarim, placing the Evarim in a Mizbeach, what he used to do is go to the top of the Mizbeach, the Kohanim were Zochen in throwing the Evarim at the Mizbeach, they come up to the top of the ramp, and they hand him the Evarim. So he hands them the Evarim, and then he throws those Evarim onto the Mizbeach. Then the Kohen decides he wants to do the Nisach HaYayim. So what does he have to do? It says here that he has to circumscribe the entire Mizbeach. He has to go around. That's what it's just described there. He goes to the southeastern corner, then to the northeastern corner, and then to the northwestern corner, and then to the southwestern corner. So he goes around the whole Mizbeach, and then he gets the Yayin Nesach. And then they give him the Yayin Nesach to do. So we just said, no, you go directly to the southwestern corner. Why is the Kohen Gadol going all the way around? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakofo Beregel. Here, he's only walking around by foot. So Amar Rava, Dekanami, Diktani, I can prove that to you from the lesson of the Mishnah. This says, Notnim lo Yayin Nesach, Velo Ktonim lo Omer lo Nasich. It doesn't say to him, go ahead and pour the libation. It says that they handed him the libation. So what did he used to do? The Kohen Gadol, when you go to the top of the ramp, he would throw the Evarim on the Mizbeach. Now he wants to do the Nesach Ayayim. He walks around the entire Mizbeach till he gets to the Keren Marvit Dromit, and then they hand him the Yayin Nesach over there. He did not carry the Yayin Nesach around with him. So the problem we had with the Yayin Nesach being carried around was it gets smoked on the way around and it would ruin the Yayin Nesach. So what do we instead? The Nesach Ayayim is done here by the Kohen Gadol. He does not carry the Yayin with him. He walks around without the Yayin. When he gets back to that corner, the Kohen who was bringing the Yayin for the Nisuch brings it to him, and he pours it into the Keren. So the Kohen Gadol is an exceptional case where he himself is not carrying the Nisuch HaYayin, or the Yayin for the Nisuch, around with him, but rather he walks there and then receives the Yayin. Because of that, the Kohen Gadol walks all the way around and then does it. A regular Kohen who's bringing up the Yayin Lanesek will go directly to the Keren Marvit Dromit because he can't carry the wine all the way around in case it'll get smoked out. Tan Rabbanan. Kol olim l'mizbeach, olim derech yamin. When you're facing the Mizbeach at the ramp, you go up the right side, which would be the eastern side of the Mizbeach. V'yordim derech smol. And when you come down on the left side. The left side, meaning that when you're facing the Mizbeach, would be the left side, which would be the Ma'arav. Chutz min ha'olah l'shlosha dvarim. That's what we said before, except for the exceptional cases that people go up for these three things. They go up on the western side, and then they retreat on the western side. And as Tosa said before, you go up the western side because that's the shortest distance. You go down the western side, not because that's the shortest distance, because that's now turning right. Because that's when you're facing the Mizbeach, that'll be a right turn. And when you come to the ramp, that'll also be a right turn. So we want you to make the right turns on the way down, not because we just want you to turn back and go the fastest way off the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Olim derech yamin, v'yordim derech yamin. Go up on the right side, and then you come down on the right side? Derech yamin, derech smohu. Why are you on the right side? You're on the left side. If you're giving perspective, you're looking at the Mizbeach from the ramp side. When you go up on the right side of the ramp, which is the eastern side. When you come down on the left side of the ramp. When you're facing the ramp, you come down on the left side. So why does the Memra say that when you're olim derech yamin, and you're dim derech yamin? So Amar Ravina, tnei smol. Change it to read small, that makes more sense. So Rav Amar, my yamin, yamin de mizbeach. The yamin is the right side of the mizbeach. Umay small, small de gavra. The left is the left of the individual. So when you use left and right over here, we're using it from different perspectives. When you're going up the ramp, we're talking about looking at the mizbeach, that's the right hand of the individual. When he's walking up the ramp, that's his right side. When he's coming down the ramp, it's the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the front of the Mizbeach is on the southern side. So when the Mizbeach looks out, the right side is the western side for the Mizbeach. So that's how he tries to explain the Derech Yamin and Derech Yamin. He says, it's all about perspective. It means from whose perspective? If you're going up on the right side from the perspective of the Gavra, the individual is going up the ramp. You're coming down on the right side from the perspective of the Mizbeach looking towards the ramp, to its face, and that's going down the right side. So Gemara says, okay, very nice. That's a nice explanation. Nitnei, o'idi idi de Mizbeach, o'idi idi de Gavra. Be consistent. Meaning that why would you have the right in the first place being from the perspective of the individual, and then the right on the way down from the perspective of the Mizbeach? You should be consistent. Either do it all from the perspective of the individual, or all from the perspective of the Mizbeach. Kasha. The Gemara leaves it as a Kasha. To be honest with you, it's very difficult because truthfully, from the Gavra's perspective, he really is on the right in both ways. When he ascends the ramp, he goes on the right side of the ramp. When he descends the ramp, he's not walking down backwards, he's walking down forwards. It is his right side when he's coming back down. So from the Gavra's perspective, he is always on the right side. The Gemara doesn't view it that way. The Gemara is that whatever direction you're giving has to be from the original perspective. Wherever you started out, wherever you're standing, you give perspective for everything. It's not as you go through the motion, then you give me a new perspective of the Gavra. When the Gavra steps out, he's facing the ramp, he's going to go up the right side of the ramp, he's going to come down the left side of the ramp. Not that when he returns to the ramp, he's going to go down the right side. So that's the way the Gemara views it. I'm just noting that the fact is that when he does walk down the ramp, he is on the right side from his perspective when he's descending the ramp. All right, now the Mishnah says, Chatat of, Kesed Haya Nasit. How do you do a Chatat Ha'Uf? We already described that it has to be done on the southwestern corner. And the Chatat Ha'Uf is down on the floor. This is down below the Chut HaSikra. So, Haya Molek Et Rosha Mimul Arpa. It does Malika from behind the neck. Ve'en Omav Dil. And he doesn't separate the neck. He doesn't separate it out. Whether that means that he leaves the skin intact, or, according to most of the Rishonim, like Rashi, you only do one siman. He only goes through one siman. Umazeh midamah lakir mizbeach. Then he does hazat adam from the bird towards the mizbeach. He holds the chatat of out, and it shoots out. He squeezes, and the blood shoots out towards the mizbeach. And then afterwards, shari adam, the remainder of the blood that's in there, hayam mitmatzeh al yitzod, falls down to the yisod. Here's a machlok of Mishonim, where he has to actually take the bird and squeeze and press it against the wall to get the extra blood out, and then that drips down. Or whether the original blood that he did hazal with will drip down to the yisod. You'll see that in the Gemara, that why the Mishonim have that suffix. Vein the mizbeach el adamah. That's the only thing that ends up in the mizbeach, bekula the kohenim. The remainder goes to the kohenim, that they are ochel. They eat the chatat ha'of. That belongs to the kohenim. Tarabanan. Vihiza midam hachatat. So when it says vihiza midam hachatat, means from the migufa chatat, from the body of the chatat itself. Stotus points out over here, it doesn't say vilakach midam chatat, to take the dam chatat, which indicated you have to put into a receptacle and then put on the mizbeach. Rather, it says vilakach midam chatat, then it sounds like the dam chatat directly goes on. How do you have it go on directly? With the bird. If you hold the bird and squeeze the blood, that's how the zak gets on the mizbeach directly. That's why there's no kli involved here. Hakeitzad, how do you do this? Ochez beroshow beguf. He has the head and the goof because they're still attached. Umazel kir mizbeach, and then he squeezes it onto kir mizbeach. Velo akir ha kevish, not on the wall of the ramp. Velo akir eichal, not the wall of the eichal. Velo akir ulam, bezazeh, zekir ha tachton. He does it on the lower half of the mizbeach, below the chut hasikra. Oh, and velo akir elyon, maybe she'd do on the upper half of the mizbeach. Vidinu, and it's a kal v'chomer. Uma behema she'ola ta lamata, a behema that it's ola is done below the chut hasikra. Chatata lamalo, when it comes to chatat, it's done up above on the karnot. Oof sholotalamalo, an oof where it's done above the chut hasikra, which we'll learn later. Eino din shechatatolamalo, certainly its chatat should be above the chut hasikra. Tamalomar vanishar badam imatzel sod amizbeach. So wait, it says the remainder of the blood will fall down to the yisod. Well, if he's on the top of the mizbeach, the blood's going to fall to the silvev and not to the yisod. If you want the blood that you did the hazat adam on the wall to fall down to the yisod, you have to do it on the lower half of the mizbeach. Even though, truthfully, the chut hasikra is an amah below the silvev, and if you did it on that first amah above the chut hasikra, it would fall down to the yisod. Nevertheless, that's not the case. When we say you can do it above the chut hasikra, we'd assume you can do the whole above the hasikra. Just being able to do it on the first amah does not qualify. You have to be able to do it in the other three amot that are above that. And since you can't do it there, because that dam would fall on the silvev, it must not be where you do it. It must be, you have to do it on the lower half of the mizbeach. Technically, it can be done. You could accomplish this by standing on the ground and putting it on the top amah off the ground above that one amah above the chut hasikra that's below the silvev. But right, that's not the normal course for things that are done above the chut hasikra, so that's why we don't learn it that way. Do it on the wall where the remainder would drip down to the yisod. Which one is this? The kira tachton. That's the below chut hasikra. So it says, I'll solve your problem. Do the hazat adam up above the chut hasikra. And then squeeze it on the bottom too. You do the matnot dam, that's at the dam up above. Then you come down and you squeeze the remainder, the mitzvah, the remaining of the dam, you squeeze onto the wall and that'll drip down to the yisod. That's the sharia dam, like you do by regular karbanot. For instance, the karban chatat. Karban chatat, you do the matnot dam on the karnot above, and then you take the sharia dam and you pour it into the yisod and mizbeach. So why can't you do the same thing here? Do the zata dam up top with the bird, at the karen dromit maravit, and then afterwards you'll go down below and you'll squeeze on the wall and that'll drip down to the yisod. So Rabba Miktiv Yamtseh, it does not write the verb in the active form, Yamtseh, but rather Yimatseh in the passive form. Yimatseh Ktiv Dememela Mashma, that happens by itself. That your Hazat Adam will end up with a Mitzui on the yisod. Well, the only way that can be is if you did Hazat Adam on the lower kir. If you do the Hazat Adam on the upper part, on the above the Chod HaSikra, you won't have that. You'll have to go and do a second Matnat Dam. You have to do a second Matnat Dam through Mitzui on the lower half. And that means you're actively doing it. Since the Torah writes it in the passive form, it means that it'll happen by itself. And that would actually what comes out to be the Machloket HaRishonim, whether you actually need a active Mitzui Adam. When you do Chatat, after you do Hazat Adam, you have to actually do Mitzui Adam and press it up against the wall afterwards. Or the fact that you do the Hazan and it drips down, that is called the Mitzui because it's written in the passive form. So it happens to be Machloket HaRishonim. But you see from here that that's why we have to do it on the lower half of the Mizbeach below Chut HaSikra. Amar Rav Zutra, so now we're up to the next stage. Partuvi Amar Rav Ketzad Mokim Chatat Of. How do you do Milika? Okay, Ochez Gafav B'Shtei Etzba'ot. He holds the wings back between two fingers. Now, I'll explain this all in 1 second. Then, Ushtei Raglayim B'Shtei Etzba'ot. And then he puts the legs between two fingers. So Rashi over here tells us which fingers you're using. The legs are held between your pinky and your ring finger. Wings are held between your index, your pointer finger, and your middle finger. And then, so now it's you're holding it in the palm of your hand. You've got the legs over here, you've got the wings over here, and now you have the thumb free. And it's facing, the bird's facing down into the palm of your hand. You're going to take your thumb now, and that's what the Gemara describes. He pushes the head between his pointer finger and his thumb. He pushes it over like that. So therefore he gets a clear view of the back of the neck, the nape, as they call it. And then, moka, he pushes the thumb through. That's the description of the Malika, according to the first description. In a bright they learned, Tzipra Milabar, that the Tzipor is on the outside, meaning that instead of it being in the palm of your hand, it's actually on the back of your hand. Meaning that the bird is up top here with your hand, your palm of your hand facing down, and you're facing like this. And in the same way, then the bright that continues, which is, Ochez Gapav B'Shtei Etzba'ot, he puts the wings between his two fingers, Ushnei Raglayim B'Shtei Etzba'ot, and then the other two fingers that trap the legs. Rashi says it's the exact same way he did it before, which means that the legs will be between your pinky and your ring finger. The wings are between your index, your pointer finger, and your middle finger. And now the thumb is going to be used to do the neck. So you have here, you have the feet captured somehow like this, wings up above like that. And then now he's got to get the neck. He's got the neck. The bird's facing down. He's got to stretch the neck. So he's going to take these two fingers and push the thumb over those two fingers. Instead of being between the thing, it's going to have to stretch it across. And that's what the Gemara says here. Puts it across those two fingers because the above. And then he does Malika. So the Gemara says, and so, Avodah Kasha should be Mikdash. This is what the most difficult of Avodot in the Mikdash, as you can see just by my description now, that it was a pretty difficult Avodah. It's even pretty hard to envision. Zuhi v'tulo. This is the hardest avodah in the Mikdash and no more. V'achgeika k'mitza v'chafino. We have other items that also Mishnayot say are the hardest avodah. One is k'mitza v'mincha, which requires one to take out with his three fingers a k'mitza and then wipe it off with his thumb and his pinky and get the exact amount in the palm of his hand without any salt or levona inside of it. It's a very difficult avodah. Chafina is on Yom Kippurim when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. He takes in Melo Chafnav, his two fistfuls of Ketoret, he places them, he has to move them into a spoon, and then he has to move the spoon back into his palms of his hands in order to do the Ketoret. It was also a very difficult avodah. Ella, ema zu avodah kasha, shiba avodot kashot shel mikdash. This is one of the most difficult avodot in mikdash, not necessarily the most, but amongst the most difficult, and includes the chafinah and kmitza. What this means, it is subject to achmachloket. And then it has to do, partly to do with the machloket about the melika. We know that all avodah in the Mikdash has to be done with one's right hand. Tosafot over here says that when you're holding the bird, you hold the bird in the right hand, and you do the melika in the right hand. That everything is done with the right hand. You have to do it a single hand. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayot over here says that's not the case. You can hold the bird in your left hand and then do melika with your right hand. So for the Rambam, it's a much easier avodah. You're holding the bird with your left hand and then you do the melika separately with your right hand. But then what does it mean, avodah kasha? If that's the way the Rambam explains it, why is it such a difficult avodah? So there is a Tosafot in Yoma that mentions the fact that it's not avodah kasha, it's not about the difficulty, but rather the painfulness or the exertion and pain that the kohen feels. And that the melika is a very difficult thing because he has to push through the orif of the bird and it hurts. It hurts his thumb and his fingernail that he has to go through. It's a painful type of avodah. So that's how Tosfos there explains what it means, avodah kasha. Avodah kasha is not about the difficulty from a dexterity and execution sense, but rather from the painfulness of doing this type of thing, of balancing and holding things in such a manner that causes the pain. So it's a very difficult avodah doing it. The way the Braita says it's even harder, much harder, the way the Braita says it. Difficulty can be because of the need for dexterity and strength, or the difficulty can come from pain. And it might have to relate to how you view what the din of melika is over here. But the melika requires one to do everything at the right hand, or melika can involve the left hand, like the Rambam says. They're not necessarily, I'm saying, they're not correlated, but they could be correlated between those two issues. All right, now, olat ha'of, we're going to do the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. All right, olat ha'of ketzin asit. How do you do the olat ha'of? Alala kevesh. He goes up the main ramp, upana the sovev, and now he goes to the sovev, and this is where Rashi points out that we don't have that. When we're going to the left side, we never have a mention of pana the sovev. For instance, in Sukkah, we're talking about the Nisuch HaMayim, it doesn't say that he goes up the Kevesh, and then he pana the sovev to go to the Keren Marvit Romit. It just says that he goes up to the Mizbeach. Rashi says, you know why? Because there is no small Kevesh that goes to the sovev on the western side. It's only on the eastern side. And since, where is the Olat Ha'of done? The Olat Ha'of is done on the southeastern corner. So that's the Sovev, that little ramp that goes to the Sovev. That's where he's going. Final Sovev. Uvalo, the Keren Dromit Mizrachit. He comes to the southeastern corner. Hayom Olekat Rosha, Mimul Arpa. He does Malika. Umavdil. As opposed to the Chatat, where he's not Mavdil, he doesn't separate the head. Here he does. Again, it's Machlokot HaRishonim. The Rishonim, like Rashi over here, says that Lo Mavdil means he only does one siman by the Chatat, or here by the Olah, he does two simanim. Whereas the Rambam believes, what does it mean by the Chatat? The Chatat, he can do two simanim. He has to leave the skin that attaches the head to the body. But over here, when it says Mavdil, Mavdil means that he cuts all the way through the skin on the other side and he separates the head. Mitzah Dama Akir Mizbeach. Here you don't require any Hazah, it's just Mitzah that is done on the upper half of the Mizbeach on the, because it's sitting on the Sovev, that's where he puts it on the corner. Natala Tarosh takes the head, Vekif Beit Melika Tol Mizbeach, and he turns the area where it was cut towards Mizbeach, Visavgoba Melech. And he puts with salt, Visarkoal Gebi Yishim, and then throws it onto the fire. So how did he get on the Mizbeach? The question is, how did he get it? He was down here on the Sovev. Mizbeach's up here. So it sounds like that he retreated down the Sovev, went up the main ramp to put the head on the Mizbeach, then he comes back down to return to the Sovev. Right, the point is, he could have thrown it, and the question is, if they threw it, that's not respectful. To throw onto the Mizbeach. Throwing to the Beit HaDeshen, because there's a requirement of Zrikah. And there is a requirement of throwing the Evarim onto the Mizbeach, but from such a distance, I'm not sure. So it sounds like he had to go back and return. Follow the goofy, Sirat Mora'av et Notzai, takes out the crop and the feathers, the Bnei Ame'ayim and the innards. How he does this, whether he pulls it out or he carves it out, Ayotzim Imam, whatever comes up, Yishlicham the Beit HaDesh, and he tosses it to the Beit HaDesh, that's what we spoke about before, but it's on this side, that's the closest location. Shisa v'lo hevdil, then he pulls the wings apart to separate, to break the body in half, but not to the point where it rips apart. V'mevdil kashir, if it does rip apart, it's okay. Sofeg v'melach, then he salts that as well, v'zarkol gabi yishim, he throws it onto the fire. Lo isir mora'a v'lo notza v'etz b'nei amiayim, Ayotzim Imam. If he doesn't do this, he doesn't remove these items, Philosoph Guba Melach, or he doesn't put the salt on it. Kol Shashini Ba Achmar Shemitzah Damak Shira. Any change in what's supposed to be done after the Mitzuya Dam, after the Dam is already squeezed onto the Mizbeach, that's not Ma'akev. Up to the point of Mitzuya Dam on the Mizbeach, that's Ma'akev. From that point forward, it's not Ma'akev. Hivdil Bechatat, Velo Hivdil Ba'olah Pasul. If he separates off the head by the Chatat, And he doesn't do that by the olah pasul, because that's a requirement before the mitin adam on the mizbeach. Mitzah adam arosh, velo mitzah adam aguf. If he squeezes the blood from the head on the mizbeach, but not that of the guf, psula, dam aguf, velo mitzah adam arosh. On the other hand, if he did it the other way around, where he put the dam of the body onto the mizbeach, but not the rosh, ksheira, because the head is tafel, the guf is the ikar dam that has to end up on the mizbeach. Chatat ov shir milka shelo lishma, the milika was done lo lishma, or mitzah damah shelo lishma, or the placement of the dam on the mizbeach was done shelo lishma, lishma shelo lishma, oh shelo lishma lishma, or he did one of them lishma, one of them not lishma, either in either direction, either the milika or the azat adam, pasul, because it's a chatat, and a chatat, one of the requirements by a chatat, it has to be done lishma. So chatat ov is like any other chatat that requires lishma. Olat ov shkera. On the other hand, the olat ov, it was done lo lishma, it's kasher. Uvaj lo ata lo balim, but it's not olat lo chova lo balim, like we have any other karban. Any other karban, what you do lo lishma, it's kasher, but it doesn't discharge the obligation of the balim. Echad chatat ov, vechad olat ov. Whether it's a chatat ov or an olat ov, shemilkan, the person goes ahead and does either avodah of mlika or mitzvah of the bird, and then he thinks about something that is normally consumed or something that's normally placed on the mizbeach, chutzlim komo, to do that outside of the normal location where he's supposed to do it, pasul, ve'im bo karet. That's what we call chutzlim komo. On the other hand, if he has machshav of chutz lizmano, then pigol v'chayevin alav karet. That's pigol, and he gets karet for that if he doesn't think to do any of those items outside of the time frame that he's supposed to. So v'ovaj yakriv matir k'mitzvato, as long as you do the rest properly. So what does that mean? Ketzad, what does it mean? Karev matir k'mitzvato. Malak v'shtikai, did the mlika without saying anything. Umitza adam chutz lizmano. And he did the mitin adam, the matno dam, with the machshav of chutz lizmano. Oh, shemalak chutz lizmano, he had the machshav of chutz lizmano during the mlika. Mitzvah Adam Mishnika, he had no machshava when he was doing the Mitzvah Adam. That's considered to do it, Kibra Uwey, because he only had one problematic machshava, and that was Chutzlis Mano. Oh, Shumalak Umitzah Adam Chutzlis Mano. Or both of those, he has a machshava Chutzlis Mano. Zehu Shekareva Matir Ki Mitzvato. That's being put in the Matir on. That's only problematic machshava you had here was that of Chutzlis Mano. And now you'll be Chayav Kareit for. Keta Lo Kareva Matir Ki Mitzvato. What is it considered not to be Ki Mitzvato? Malak Chutzlis Mano. He had a machshava of Chutzlis Makom, which is Pasul Veimbo Kareit, about the Malika. But Mitzvah Adam Chutzlis Mano, or the other way around. Oshomalak chutz lizmano. He did the melika with the machshav chutz lizmano. Umitza adam chutz lizkamo. He does nitin adam, the matno dam, with the machshav of chutz lizkamo. Oh, shalak umitza adam chutz lizkamo. Or he does both of them chutz lizkamo. Or chatat ov shemalko shalod lishma. Umitza adam chutz lizmano. Or by a chatat ov, where he had the additional perspective where he does it shlo lishma, because by a chatat ov, that's posel. So he does the melika shlo lishma, but he does the mitzah of chutz lizmano, or shemalak chutz lizmano, he does the melika of chutz lizmano, umitzah adamo shlo lishma. He does the mitzah shlo lishma, or shemalak umitzah adam shlo lishma. He does both of them lo lishma, zeu shlo karev amatir kemitzvato. There, it's pasul, because there's an external, exogenous pasul that is not related to chutz lizmano. Either chutz lizmano is not there at all, or when chutz lizmano is there, when it's paired up with another psul, it's not considered to be kareva matir kemitzvato. Lechol kazayit b'chutz, kazayit b'machar, if he intends to eat a kazayit b'chutz and a kazayit b'machar, kazayit b'machar or kazayit b'chutz, a kazayit tomorrow and b'chutz, so that's makshevet chutz zmano and chutz mekamo, kechatzi kazayit b'chutz v'kazayit zayit b'machar, kazayit zayit b'machar or kazayit zayit b'chutz, any of these pasul, all those are pasul v'im b'karet, because you haven't gotten to this shi'ur that you need. You have either by the chatzi kazayit you don't have a shi'ur, or by the full kazayit you have a shi'ur, but you have another makshava. You have another makshava of chutz limkomo. That makshava chutz limzmano is going to make it pasul, and therefore there'll be no karet, because then it's not karet v'matirav k'mitzvato. I'm Rav Yehuda, no. Zeklal, and we saw Rav Yehuda by behemot as well. This is the principle. Im makshevet hazman kadma l'makshevet hamakom. If the makshevet hazman psul came from pigol chutz lizmano first, then the chutz lizmano comes afterwards. Pigol v'chadavim karet. That dictates. That makes it into pigol and yechayim karet. And whatever you say afterwards is irrelevant. Whereas the other way around, if he had makshevet makom kadma l'makshevet hazman, if he has makshevet makom first, chutz lizmano first, and then only afterwards has chutz lizmano, then it's pasul v'im b'karet, because the one that goes first is dictates over here. B'chachamim armim, zeh v'zeh pasul v'im b'karet. Both of those instances are pasul v'im b'karet, because you must have the entirety of the avodah being done chutz lizmano, with a machshevet chutz lizmano, or with shtika. Those two are the only ones that work together, allow you to have pigol v'sheish bo karet. L'chol kechati zayit ulaktir kechati kazayit. If he intends to eat a chati kazayit chutz lizmano, and he intends to place in the mizbech a chati kazayit chutz lizmano, kasher, shein achila v'aktara mitztarfim. There are two different things. Achilat adam and achilat mizbeach are separate entities for this issue, and therefore they can't be mitztarif. If you have a chati kazayit of each of them, they're not mitztarif to a full kazayit. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll deal with the Gemara tomorrow that comes to explain our Mishnah.